Stay in the Know with Radio 2000 Podcast.
All right, the time now, 9 minutes after eight. This is Life, Love and All with Mapaseka Mokwele, joined we'll be joined by Dr. Samke Ngobo. But just before that, you know, I forgot to actually give you Leroy's details. To reach Leroy for his book or anything, you can send a text to 081-287-5157. That's 081-287-5157. And on to Mind, Body and Soul. This is the second hour of a Tuesday evening. Dr. Samke Ngobo has been living with a diagnosed bipolar disorder for almost 20 years or so, and she speaks about her journey and mission to change how mental illness is spoken about. Dr. Samke, how are you?
Good evening, Mapaseka, and good evening to the listeners. I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. You have very clear, vivid memories of your first hospitalization as a teenager after having a psychotic episode. You are now a medical doctor and author looking at, you know, bipolar disorder and all of that. Take me back to when you were 14 and you were diagnosed with bipolar disorder. What was that like?
I was born in a time or raised in a time when mental illness was not spoken about as robustly as it's being done currently. So at the time when I was diagnosed, I had no clue what was happening to me. My parents also didn't know what was happening. So I was escalating an abnormal behavior where I was saying that I was speaking to deceased relatives, hearing voices of people who weren't there. I was very paranoid. I felt that the radio was communicating with me directly. I felt that billboards were doing so. And I felt very afraid and felt that my conversations also on the telephone were being listened to by these unseen people. So it was a very scary time for me, being a 14-year-old. And it wasn't just the simple moods that people would expect of teenagers. So at the time when my mood was changing, it wasn't a cause of concern. Up until I was saying these things, it was so abnormal for my parents to hear. So then that is the time when I had my first contact with mental health care services, when they realized that something was seriously wrong with me at the time.
Sure. Now, that you, for example, take me through that psychotic episode. I mean, you described the voices that you heard and everything else that was happening. What were the signs, though, that, you know, okay, this is definitely bipolar, as in to you and family when you were taken in?
Yes. At the first time when I was initially diagnosed, they just said I have a mood disorder. They didn't elaborate further on what was happening to me at the time. I guess it was maybe out of fear or concern that I'd walk around with the label saying that. So at the time, they just said I have a mood disorder, nothing further elaborated on. And it was quite a difficult time, essentially. So when I finally was told that I had this illness, was, or rather having it and the diagnosis fully explained to me, it was around about my university time when I was showing more of its symptoms and having frequent episodes. So they had seen that I had unstable mood. I was pacing around. I was hearing voices. So I was also having a mixed episode where it was the bipolar, the mood symptom, and also the psychotic episode where I had the disorganized behavior and thought disorder as well.
What do, explain that to us in English, like just proper terms for somebody who's sitting there thinking, you know, I think my child may be going through something. What exactly are you saying?
So if they, so bipolar disorder is a type of mental illness where there are changes in mood, and it exists in something called a spectrum with, between the psychotic illnesses and the mood symptoms. So basically there are extremes of mood. Unlike depression, where only it's low mood, with bipolar disorder, you have the elevated mood, the irritability, the irritable mood, disorganized behavior, hearing voices at times to say psychotic symptoms. And then the other thing is when you're engaging in high-risk behavior as well, that could be one of the cardinal signs that somebody might have those symptoms. So if there's a change observed over a period of, say, 2 weeks and beyond, that's when one would say that one could be having a manic episode, because to describe somebody as having a manic episode, it has to be changes in mood that are over a period of 2 weeks.
So now you are seeing this and you are feeling these things, but did you have to be put on treatment? You know, the understanding of this is a lifetime thing, was that explained to you thoroughly?
Definitely not at that time. My journey with mental illness is 21 years, but my journey of having accepted it was 16 years later, which is fairly recent. But I was put on treatment. It was a stop and start period at the time. So I definitely, it is definitely a lifelong illness. And I do take medication twice a day, every day of my life. I have had a mixed relationship with my medication when I wasn't complying because I wasn't accepting it. And I felt that it wasn't explained to me in a manner whereby I could accept and understand what was happening to me. So I think it's been a long-term journey. And one is more controlled because of the fact that I now have a multidisciplinary team support system where I'm supported by a psychiatrist, psychologist, and when needed with an occupational therapist. So it's definitely a lifelong illness requiring ongoing treatment for the rest of my life.
And the understanding of that is, you know, on its own could just send you into an episode, I can imagine.
Absolutely. It's very difficult. There's a high level of stigma related to living with a mental illness of any kind.
Mm.
And one of the most stigmatized ones is bipolar disorder. People still make jokes in the office or in the work environment to say, hey, that one is a bipolar. Hey, that one is a bipolar. Because they don't understand what the condition means. So just carrying that label with you now becomes more difficult because you realize the perception people have either wittingly or unwittingly or due to lack of knowledge and understanding about the condition. So one of the biggest stigmas I had to overcome, which enabled me to now speak to you confidently, is the fact that I overcame the self-stigma and shame, and then the rest ceased to matter.
Oh, you know what? I'm happy for you. I'm happy that, you know, this is where you got to. I can imagine the relief as well for you, you know, to finally be able to live with yourself and be comfortable with this is who I am and we can deal with it because it should never be a life sentence, you know? So this is, it's amazing to hear you say that. Talk about the impact, though, that this has had on your personal life. I mean, talking about love relationships, you know, mjolo. Is it something that you need to disclose on a first date? Is it something that, you know, you're treated differently once you have disclosed? How have you found your experience?
I've just made it my own thing, the element of disclosure. So I only feel comfortable to disclose to people I feel safe with. Like with any diagnosis, be it diabetes, hypertension, HIV, I wouldn't necessarily encounter somebody on first interaction and then declare, you know, whatever status I have. Obviously, because people know, many people will know that I have this diagnosis called bipolar disorder, it doesn't necessarily automatically mean that I have to declare it upfront to somebody. So it depends on the level of safety and comfort around people, and then I will feel safe to share this reality of my life, basically, that I carry every single day.
Oh, you know, people are faced with so much that's happening. Hey, I mean, there's unemployment. Since COVID, it's even worse. There's a lot of debt. We see GBV. We see broken homes. We see hopelessness. We see, you know, so much that people are just going through on a daily. What tools can you, can one use, at least that you think are the best, to get themselves to not try to only just survive, but to also live and thrive?
I like your question, Makwasega, because I think oftentimes, especially in the African community, we have that sense of wanting to carry things with us until we can no longer carry them because we glamorize to some extent or what can I say, whereby, you know, the sense of carrying a whole load without seeking help is often glamorized. Like, I call it the resilience contest. Who can carry the most without seeking help? And I think we need to break that sense of, you know, being too independent to our own detriment. I believe that normalizing the reality of struggle in our lives is one of the things that will emancipate us as a people. To say that, you know, life is tough, we might not have the same level or heaviness of challenges, but whatever one is faced with, it needs to be validated at whatever space it is. Maybe one person can cope better with the challenge that you have, and maybe you feel that, you know, other people seem to be coping better with their challenges, whereas I'm not. But it's to normalize the fact that if for you it is overwhelming, seek the help that is available. There are organizations out there which provide the support, and to reach out to those resources that are made available to us before there's a crisis. So I think preventive, you know, having a preventive manner of approach is key instead of waiting for a crisis to take place. And like you're saying, COVID-19, gender-based violence, all these issues have just been so overwhelming to our society. And I think normalizing seeking help, normalizing admitting to struggle is what will break that sense of stigma.
So true. Hey, we need to be talking about it more comfortably to say, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. The very same way that anybody else can talk about any other illness that they may be going through or feeling at that time. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk more about, you know, at your best, what are you seeing now in your life? And now being the advocate that you are for mental health, that's a big thing, and that's a beautiful thing to see you do. Please do send us your WhatsApps, and you can also call us. I'm talking to medical doctor, mental health advocate, founder of Sisters for Mental Health, and author of Reflections of a Convoluted Mind, A Journey with My Mental Illness. Thank you so much for talking to us, Dr. Samge Ngcobo. You know, when I look at somebody who can stand up and be an advocate for something as big as this, that's amazing to see. And as I said to you, well done on doing that. What got you up? What actually got you thinking, I'm actually going to stand up and now start telling people that this is what it is, and maybe break down all the negative beliefs or false beliefs that people have when it comes to mental illness?
Thank you so much, Martha Sega. I reached a turning point 2 years ago in my life, and I have to be honest and confess that I had no intention whatsoever to ever speak this publicly and so openly about my mental illness, about my diagnosis. I had told people who were close to me in my life about it, and I was comfortable with that, but never did I think I'd use a platform or create platforms where I have these conversations. 2 years ago, I had a public episode where basically it was witnessed by people I don't know, by colleagues, by friends, by family, and I ended up in this public state facility, which was a very unpleasant experience at that particular one. And from that time, I then said, I am going to speak openly, because I realized that, you know, people really have a misconception about what a mentally ill person looks like. What does it mean to have a mental illness? And I then realized that the best advocate about this topic is somebody living with it. So I decided to take it upon myself and use my role as being a medical doctor, that very role of being a medical doctor, to use it as a statement to say, here I am, I have bipolar disorder. It's not what you make it out to be, but I am living a full life despite this diagnosis that is so highly stigmatized. And with that, I also realized that self-advocacy and self-activism is the loudest voice and the most powerful voice that one can use. Yes, people can speak at us and for us, and there's Google, there's everybody else that can define what this is, but there's no substitute for the lived experience and to hear it from the source of a lived experience. And that is why I took it upon myself to use my medical knowledge and use my personal experience to give a face and a name to mental health, mental illness, be it bipolar, be it depression, any other mental health condition, because I felt that putting a face to it is on its own a breaking and challenge of stigma.
It's a beautiful thing that you're doing. The number of people that, you know, will be encouraged just by listening to your story and hearing what you've got to say and the journey that you've walked, that's just amazing. What has been the response like?
You know, the response has been incredibly humbling. In a positive manner. I started this very, in a very nonchalant manner. It started with, you know, your Instagram videos, you had talk about it, you know, just in a very casual manner. And as there's been an increase in interest and increased feedback, both from professionals who are in the field and otherwise, I then realized that, you know, there is such a strong need for what I am doing. And that has been what has been propelling me to keep, you know, expanding my horizons, expanding my voice, making my voice louder, because I then realized that, you know, people really feel that my sentiments are echoed. I echo their sentiments. And also people who are living in shame and fear, they feel that, you know, somebody is speaking their language. Because it's not just somebody speaking at them, but it's somebody who really knows what it means to be depressed, who really knows what it means to have suicidal ideation, which is something that's still quite taboo and shameful in society, despite it being such a reality.
So true, hey? Sure. At your best, what do you feel? I want to ask you about at your best and also at your worst. Just describe those feelings for me.
At my best, I am calm, I am peaceful, despite life challenges that might be taking place around me. At my best, I'm somebody who's very calm and peaceful. And I'm somebody who is able to face the day ahead proactively, in a state of feeling empowered. That is when I'm at my best. At my worst, showering sometimes is an achievement. Getting out of bed is an achievement. Leaving my room is an achievement, because I then have to, you know, downscale, so to speak, the level of what I accomplish. So there are days where I'm achieving the big thing, and that can be where I'm feeling at my peak. But then there's those days where the smallest thing is a victory because it's just so hard to do. I even speak of when I feel like the door is 2 meters away, but it feels so, so far away at times when I'm having maybe a depressive episode. So it varies, and I just try and remain in a state of equilibrium, somewhere in the middle where things are calm, and despite the stresses that may be taking place, that I remain centered and grounded.
It's such a show. This that you're describing, you know, a lot of people go through it, right? Depressive episodes, not understanding what's going on, don't want to get up, don't want to get out of bed, don't want to shower, don't want to move, don't want to talk to anyone. You just want to be, just sit there and be miserable. And a lot of people don't actually understand what's happening. We see that a lot of people are still not understanding of what mental health is, purely also because they are forever told, oh, you know, us in the African culture, you see a psychiatrist, wahlang, you know what I mean? There's some craziness that's associated to it. So it's like, that's why I keep saying to you that this that you're doing, being an advocate for something as big as this, is just huge. Please don't ever forget that. Nolwandle joins us on the line, and she wants to talk to us about her experience and her brothers with mental health. Nolwandle, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Mapaseka. How are you?
Lovely, thank you. Do share.
Yeah, like I said, it's very difficult. I have been diagnosed with severe depression, and due to lack of funds, I am not on medication anymore. So I have to now learn to cope with what is going on. And my actual point was that I am happy that you guys are sharing about mental health, because there is not enough information out there. My brother has been diagnosed with bipolar about 4 years ago. I am from a well-learned family, but at the end of the day, when he starts having his episodes, especially when his medication is running out, my parents are still struggling to understand what is going on with him. Where I am concerned, hardly anybody would even understand when I say, not now, because I know when I start getting triggered into that dark space, you know. So mental health is a very important topic, and I wish that we would make more noise around it.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Nolwandle, in fact, before we even get to just checking with you, Nolwandle, maybe let me check with Dr. Samke. Do you have questions for Nolwandle or advice for Nolwandle?
I think it's very unfortunate that Nolwandle is, you know, living with this condition called depression, which is severe as she describes it. And because of funds, she's no longer taking the medication, which is helpful to her, and other, you know, support that she needs. I don't know where she's based, but, you know, there are psychiatric facilities which provided on an outpatient basis, provide the care and on an outpatient basis, the care that you need and support. So yes, the private sector has the medication and the resources, but also the state sector does have, I know it's a very overwhelmed system, but the help is there, even if you don't have the funds to support yourself from the private sector. I know people are often put off by it because of whatever negative experiences, or sometimes not knowing what is available out there. But the state does have these resources as well.
You know, doctor, when you say that, I have tried, well, as soon as I lost my medical aid, I tried to reach out to the state. And the truth of the matter is, it's being brushed off as if it's just the once off episode. You'll be fine. You'll get over it. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. By then, I have the medical records that say we have tested. I was not even aware that I was suicidal. In my understanding, I just wanted a break.
Sure.
But because of what the engagement with the psychologist and the psychiatrist, I was given a declaration form that I will not try to harm myself. And as we went in further into it, that's when the doctor made me aware that the fact that you want to dig a hole and just stay in complete silence, that's death. You are wishing for death. And I was not aware of it. Now, coming back to the public facilities that we have, when you express that, they just say, no, just breathe. They brush it off due to lack of better words. It's treated like it's nothing. you are heightening the situation, and by then you are desperately in need of help. Hence I'm saying I wish we could have more informed platforms into what is mental health. You know, it is very saddening to hear a very close family member saying, "Nanga se voluki muto waipulaye." I voluki batu waipulaya. It is heartbreaking because you know that you survived it and you are still battling it. And here's a person who comes across as if when they come to your funeral, they'll be doing you a favor. Mind you, when you come to my funeral, whether it's suicidal or not, at the end of the day, you're not coming for me. You're coming to support those who have lost.
That's you know, so
but
true.
The arrogance that comes from those words on its own, it's depressing.
It's got to be, I think, you know, it's so important, guys. I cannot emphasize it enough. It is so important that we stand up and we actually wave our hands as much as we can and create as much awareness for people to get it. You know, because sometimes some people are like, ah, it's not so bad. Maybe one day. Sometimes it's, ah, it's just a week. And then there's people who go through things and their families, all they're saying is, oh, she's so lazy. She doesn't even want to get out of bed, this one.
Exactly.
You know, oh, moody. Oh, sale. Oh, snacks. You know, there's all of those things that are said because people don't understand. They just don't get it. Thank you so, so much for sharing with us. Eh?
Thank you very much, Master.
Thank you so, so much.
Keep up the good work. We are learning a lot from your show.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Dr. Samke, here's a message that I'd like you to answer. It says, "Evening, Mapaseka, a very touching topic about mental illness. Well, I'm also suffering with mental illness. I was discovered that I'm suffering with major depression disorder, and it's not something easy to fight it alone. What more important is it to be strong and do your best to fight this illness? Thank you," from Mangoba Morgan Stoller from South Coast MZinto. So it's actually just a comment to say, you know what? Living, trying, working, I am doing this, but thank you so much for, you know, raising awareness on this. Let's talk to Lwazi. Hi, Lwazi.
Hi, Mrs. I'm
Mkhonunjani, Lwazi.
I'm good. Dr. Ngobo, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Dr. Ngobo, you're one of my connections on LinkedIn as well. I've been following you with regarding to the mental health, illness. And you know what? Let me just went straight to the point. You know, Osmo Paseka, this is a very, very... I cannot speak right now because this is too much touching situation that I'm facing with. I've got like a 74-year-old mother. She's a schizophrenia disorder. Due to so many reasons, she's staying alone, and there's no one that is looking after her. Imagine that I'm staying far away from the home. I've been growing independent in terms of doing my own things, career-wise, doing very well. But now the situation sometimes is hitting me that I get phone calls that my mother is sick, and I do not have any other assistance to in terms of how do I come up and assist her. Each and every day. Right now, it has reached to the point where she decided to break the house windows. And now, it's so sad. You know, the one thing that kills me the most is that in an African culture, in an African context, is that when you see someone does perform with those episode issues, it seems as if one lawyer or Watagat and all those things, we ended up wanted to do something to harm her. That's one of those things that I'm currently facing with each and every day.
And how can you get help?
I'm currently sitting in the car. I don't even know when the last time I had a proper sleep because of this issue. Amen. I don't know what to do with this situation.
Askisi. Dr. Samke, maybe you can give us a bit of light in terms of what he can do there. What can Lwazi do?
You know, mental illness is a family challenge. It's not just about the person who is living with it. And the caller is just highlighting that real reality of trauma that is faced
by family members related to mental illness. It's not just about the person who's carrying the illness, but it affects the whole family system. And the other thing that he is highlighting is related to the stigma. There's still a high element of cultural and social stigma related to mental illness. It brings to mind, you know, the issue of one of the individuals who was even set alight by the community because they thought that she's bewitched or was a witch. And this still needs a lot of psychoeducation for the communities as well, to not just leave it restricted to the family members who carry the shame of having a loved one living with mental illness, but then the community itself does not understand what this is. And as a result, there's all these labels related to stigma and lack of understanding. So I do think that if his mother is uncontained in the home environment, it would be helpful to go to a mental health facility or take her to the nearest casualty department if she's a danger to herself and a danger to other people. Because, you know, the resources are available, but it's to also make use of them. And I understand the trauma and the feeling of being overwhelmed at being faced by this, basically what it seems like a daily basis.
It's tough, eh? Does that help you there, Lwazi? Okay, Lwazi's gone, but I'm hoping that he got the message, and I think that was definitely helpful there. Let's go to a voice note. It's quite a long one, but I think it's very important that we listen to all of it. So let's go there.
Dumela Osma Paseka and your lovely guest. I also have a bipolar mood disorder. Mine is type 2. I was first diagnosed with bipolar 2016. At the time, I was fresh out of high school, 2015, going to varsity, Northwest University, Ekoma Fikeng. I'm sorry that I have not introduced myself. Can I climb a long tree? Bipolar, it's a very tough and challenging disorder to have, a mood disorder where your moods fluctuate from depression to mania and without proper medication and also a proper lifestyle is very difficult, you know. But I've noticed one thing, that it's a manageable disorder. It just needs you to be very disciplined, you know, and live a nice lifestyle. I'm not proud of it, but you know, mine was induced by substances. You know, when you're a young boy, growing up with a single mother, always having these thoughts of where's father? You know, my father passed away when I was 2 years old. You know, like, you ask yourself, like, why is my papa? You know, why is my mom single all the time? You're bitter, you're angry, you know, you seek validation from other friends, from peers. You feel like you're the black sheep, you know, like out of your friends that have fathers and all that stuff. You start indulging in marijuana, tubadizolo, you know, and not knowing that it's only temporary fix, you know. It's not some thing that is going to be there like a solution, you know. So we ended up developing habits and also messing up our minds, where we then get induced, you know, having psychosis. I had my first psychotic episode 2016. It was like a fear and a bit of anxiety of, you know, facing the world, going to a tertiary institution. Then I had my second and final episode. Recently, I haven't had an episode since 2017. It was mostly substance induced. And, you know, as men, we tend to love too much. And when we love too much, we love the wrong people and we put our effort and energy towards the wrong people. And also, honestly speaking, when you are on medication, please do not smoke marijuana, you know, because it can be very chemical imbalance. It's a long 3-minute VN, but please, it's very informative. Bipolar disorder, it's a manageable disorder, yet needs a lot of discipline.
Sure. Thank you so much for sharing that. The discipline that he talks about, Dr. Samge, is probably one of the most difficult things that I can imagine a person has to deal with or go through. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a very layered voice note. There were so many points where I could really relate to what he's saying. And one of them I wanted to just highlight there is the fact that, you know, there are many causes of a mental illness, including bipolar disorder. I had a genetic predisposition, so there's a genetic factor, but the substances is a very important one to actually highlight, and he spoke so openly about that. Discipline, as you asked, is so important. Structure is very important in living with a mental illness. So, you know, having a more routinized way of living, avoiding things that compromise my mental health, like, you know, alcohol, those are things I can't consume and shouldn't consume because they make you more vulnerable to having a relapse, and things like cannabis as well. So also just, you know, having structure in my life is very important. Taking my medication religiously at those set times, it requires a lot of discipline in order to maintain stability. It's difficult, but it is doable. And I think support structures are very important. You know, friends and family are very helpful in helping you stay on course and make you aware of when you're taking a slight shift from the norm before it becomes an overt presentation where you end up being in hospital. So it requires a lot of discipline, but it can be done.
Sure. I love that it can be done, because actually we know that not everything comes easy. Hey, we need to work for good things and for our lives. In fact, this is also fighting for your life. You stand up and you fight and you fight for your life. Let's go to the voice notes.
Maya Pasega, a very touching topic about mental illness. Well, I'm also suffering with mental illness. I was discovered that I'm suffering with major depression disorder, and I was not aware something like that is existing. And it's something which is not easy to fight it alone. It requires a lot of strength to fight it. What more important is to be strong and do your best to fight with this illness. And I've been into different psychologists, psychiatrists, but at the end of the day, there is no help. And I've been into medication, and I took some medication, but at the end of the day, I end up stopped taking those medication. But I can feel I'm still not okay, because it looks like it's something which is a permanent thing. So I just want to ask from the doctor if it's like, if you're suffering from major depression disorder, it's something which is permanent, that is always gonna live with you. Thanks. I would like to remain anonymous. Thanks.
Sure. Well, how do you respond to that, Dr. Samke?
Yes, thank you for the question to Anonymous. Major depressive disorder is a treatable and manageable condition. Once you have the diagnosis, it's important to use the resources that are available. When I say that, I'm speaking about, you know, using the support of the psychologist, the psychiatrist, the medication. All those things are important in feeling better and maintaining your wellness, because to stop the medication, to start and stop, is also a challenge, because it can make you more resistant to responding to when you start it again. So those things are very important to continue to do. And instead of saying, you know, will the diagnosis stop or will the condition stop, it's rather, you know, it varies from person to person in terms of how long you can take the treatment, and also depending on the condition as well. For example, bipolar disorder is a lifelong mental health condition, as is schizophrenia. With major depressive disorder, other people may take treatment for, 6 months to 18 months. Others may have to take it for the rest of their life, depending on the severity and the response to treatment. So it varies, and I think the caller is sounding as if they really are struggling with the symptoms. So stopping medication and not using the resources that are made available is actually something that's to his disadvantage. I'd encourage him to pursue the appropriate support and to continue with the care, because living with depression can be very debilitating. Any mental illness can be very debilitating, because you can end up not being able to show up how you need to show up in your relationships, and also in terms of the work performance can be impaired as well if you're not at your peak.
Sure. Guys, it's tough. Yeah, wait till we take it so lightly. We take these things so lightly, Dr. Samke, that a lot of people, you know, the understanding is, yeah, when I was sharp, when I got on a little bipolar, when I get, we say it so lightly, bipolar, when I go sort yourself out, and that's it. There's far more that goes into even the sorting out and trying to deal with self. And in fact, negative comments coming as commentary from other people is just enough to also put you back in the very cycle of this thing that you're trying to get rid of. So we can we learn to be kinder with our words? And if you don't know what it is, keep quiet. It's okay, hey? You'd rather ask, Corey, what are we going on? But the assumptions that are being made, no. We need to stop that. Let's go to another voice note.
Good evening. I'll spacey with your guest in the studio. Anonymous. Yeah, I'll be anonymous. I'm here in Durban. Double Wangana is serious because in 2014 I've been diagnosed with a stress disorder. Hey, no medication, but still I can't cope. Higher is in Free State, so every time I have to travel or go to the medication, I don't know how can I get my medication this side because I'm in KZN. But still, I can't even cope now because I'm not working. I know it's free in public hospital, but I can't cope. I still even don't get on medication. Like today, I've been sleeping the whole day. I get happy. Get off of it, everything. Get off of kwalukhoja. I have suicidal thoughts, and happy I'm staying next to the main road. I sometimes feel like I can wake up. But I have this daughter that I have to live for. But again, I'm just useless because I can't provide for her. So it's too much. It's too much, guys.
It is just so tough, eh? Sure. But thank you so much for sharing and for standing up and saying, guys, this is a struggle that I'm going through. It's so important that we raise our hands. And as we raise our hands, you know, we raise them with the understanding, you know, guys, I need help. And it's okay, guys. Let's help each other. Let's walk the journey with our loved ones. Let's walk the journey with people that we see, that we say we care about. This is one way of showing them that you actually do care. We're talking about mental health, and we've got Dr. Samge Ngobo, and she's walking us through her journey and also helping, you know, with other people's journeys that they have walked or they continue to walk. And she's advising and helping and just making us understand things better. We've got Matapelo on the line. Matapelo, go for it.
Thank you so much for having me on the line.
Thank you, Matapelo.
Dr. Ngobo, thank you so much for your book. I have cried, I have slept, I have given up, I have gathered strength, I have gained confidence, and yet on a daily basis it would be crushed. I have been through so much in my life. From 2013, I have been diagnosed with a major depressive disorder, which, you know, subsequently after that, I've had multiple relapses where I've even had to, you know, go for therapy at your ACESOs, your various ACESOs. Last year, I was laid off work for about 9 months, temporary incapacity due to being now diagnosed with a bipolar disorder. On a normal basis, I am a very lovely person. I'm out there. I'm bubbly. I'm very loud. I am content. I am confident. But when this thing comes, it comes and hits you like the pain is something that you cannot express. Mine comes in a form of sadness, where I look at my life and I say, I have gone through so much, I have achieved so much, but why is it that I feel so empty? Why is it that I feel so sad? I've been through therapy since 2014 to date. Sure. Sometimes I feel like I am stronger than any other person you can meet on this planet. But when the depressive side of it comes, it feels as if I lose myself. No matter what you can say at that particular point in time when I'm feeling that sad and so depressed, nothing sinks in. Level of concentration is gone. Level of interaction is gone. You know, at work, I'm one person that when I am there, everyone will know that Matabelo is in the room. But sometimes I am there and yet I feel so hollow, like there is something missing. When you talk about understanding suicide on chapter 3 of your book, I have said to a friend of mine, Lefilo, who introduced me to you, I said, I don't know how long I've been reading this chapter, but each and every extract that I read touches on me so much that I end up crying. I don't know that crying means it is okay to not be okay, because there's people that we hold up higher on, you know, like, why does a doctor have a depressive disorder? Why does a doctor have a bipolar disorder? Why are pathologists psychotic? And I'm in a health environment, you know? So this topic is something that I am passionate about so much, because through my experiences, actually, I've been able to also heal. The previous caller touched on, you know, people saying that when you are suicidal, you are seeking attention. You are suicidal because there are certain aspects of your life that you feel you don't have control over. You know, I've had 3 miscarriages in life. I have a 5-year-old now that I should be excited to live for. I'm currently separating with his father because I feel that a huge part of it has got an element of, you know, this mental disorder. I'm very functional at work, but I'm too scared to say I stand out, because it feels as if I'm constantly running away from something, and that something is self. And when I dig deeper,
sometimes so much. Thank you so much for opening up. Thank you so much for, you know, for allowing yourself to open up and understand and dig even deeper. Dr. Samge, we've run out of time, but just a few words of encouragement, you know, just to say we hear you and thank you to Matabelo.
Matabelo, thank you so much. And I fully empathize with you. And I'm so grateful that, you know, my story is something that resonates with you and gives you hope as well. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr.
All right. Thank you so much. And all the best to you, Matabelo. Dr. Samge, we've got to say goodbye now, but I want to believe it's not the last time that we're talking, because there's so many other mental illnesses that we need to talk about and we need to work through as well. And again, the understanding of what we are dealing with in terms of mental health cannot just be done in 1 hour. We definitely need more time. Thank you so much for your time.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And remember, Dr. Samge's website, www.vocalmentality.com. www.vocalmentality.com. Time for us now to take, we're not taking a break. We're actually saying goodbye. We'll be back again tomorrow. Remember, please phone SADC on 0800-456-789. Should you be feeling the need to talk, feeling suicidal, feeling down, feeling depressed, feeling... whatever it is that you're going through, they are there to listen and they are ready to listen to you. 0800-456-789. News time now on the Lambana. We're back again tomorrow, just eyes after the news.
Life, love and all. Every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. with Mapaseka Mokwele on Radio 2000. Catch the Radio 2000 podcast on radio2000.co.za.